Welcome to Phantom Podcast Network. This is Legal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of 1980s action cinema. Celebrating the heroes of yesterday, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Van Damme, all the way down to, of course, the B-grade action films that we all enjoyed on VHS, and of course, Betamax, with the loves of American Ninja, all the way through to Cyborg Cop and beyond. Here at Phantom Podcast Network's Legal Mullet Podcast, join Adam O'Brien as we celebrate action movie cinema.
Welcome, folks, to the one, the only Legal Mullet Podcast live here on Phantom Podcast Network's Quinlan's Cantina out here in Australia on the East Coast, and joining me all the way from the West Coast out in the fantastic, named after a Seinfeld character, Newman. That's right. The one, the other, Ryan Stanley. Buddy, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mate, welcome back. We haven't casted in so long, but to chat about Christmas, first of all, Merry Christmas, mate.
And to you. And to you.
And, of course, we're having some of the hottest Christmas weather you're ever going to have.
Yeah.
Here in Australia. Wow.
Toasty.
It really is. I mean, like, the Americans and everywhere else in the other hemisphere have this fantastic snowy Christmas, which I'll trade them any day for this 40 degrees.
You think we could meet in the middle? You know, they could meet in the middle.
Nice.
Bit of snow, Bureau.
You know, I'd go for an Antarctic Christmas. Bring it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because isn't there a city down there now? I mean, they literally got, like, a little township, don't they?
Kind of, yeah. It's like the whole bunch of crazy scientists that, you know, they sort of commit to staying there for, I forget how many months at a time. They can't just, like, you know what, I'm going out for the weekend, guys. It's like, I've never been there.
And you just think, you go down there, pull in with a helicopter, and then all of a sudden you see Kurt Russell's MacReady walk out, and you go, yeah, I'm going back to the mainland. Oh, you know, I always ask that question about the thing. You know, who do you think was the thing at the end? Was it MacReady, or was it the other character? That
it's toughy.
It's hard because there's really no clue.
You don't want it to be MacReady because, you know, it's Kurt Russell and he's the main guy. He's the, you know, the protagonist. But John Carpenter's twisted, so you never can tell.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's probably his best film, I personally think. I mean, Big Trouble's great as well, but... And, of course, you've got Escape from New York with Snake Plissken as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The hits just keep on coming with these guys.
Yeah.
But, so, obviously, you're a massive Star Wars fan. We should get that out of the way first, too. Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker.
I've seen them.
Okay. So you're looking forward to it?
Star Wars is life. It's good.
It really is. The Jedi way is the Jedi way, and we definitely love that. But only doubt, what is it, 7 days away, and we are going to see the end of the saga?
No. It's huge. And I thought I wasn't going to make it, but now it's like, yeah, no, we're on, and I was able to get tickets for the midnight premiere, so I'm a happy boy about that.
Are you going to Perth to see it?
Yep. It'll be pretty much, kid will finish school, and we'll jump in the car and hit the road. probably drive the 12 hours overnight.
And, folks, we've got to tell you about the geography here. We're talking about Newman's almost in the middle of Western Australia, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of like if you... it's sort of in the northwest, but towards the middle.
And, of course, we're literally like Mos Eisley is to go into the big smoke, when you think about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, there have been times where I've definitely associated it with Tatooine. It's, you know, there's a... right center to the universe. This could be the place it's furthest from.
You know, we've got such amazing visuals out here in Australia when it comes to imagery in the outback, and you know, you get to see this beautiful country when you go through those lovely trips from obviously Newman to Perth. You know, explain to people, we're talking about red sand. I mean, it really is, you know, that beautiful red color.
Yeah, I'm out here because I'm in iron ore mining, and so that's why it's red. It's basically rust. It's millions of years of weathering and breaking.
And of course, folks, you can see some of that in the Mad Max films. Even, well, I think it's Beyond Thunderdome's got lots of those sorts of visuals. Of course, you know, Mad Max 2, the Road Warrior, but. We're here to chat today about, of course, Christmas films, and the challenge is to find out what is the best Christmas movie. Well, folks, we're going to start with Die Hard because I think that's probably one of the quintessentials. John McClane versus Hans Gruber, Nakatomi Plaza. What are your thoughts, mate? Is this Christmas?
It is definitely a Christmas movie. I mean, not just because it's set then, but, you know, it's the whole atmosphere. It's you know, to quote the castle, it's the vibe of the thing.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny because just off air before, we were just talking about another film which you could definitely liken to Die Hard. I mean, we're talking, of course, about Harry Potter.
And Harry Potter, yes, absolutely. Someone made that very good point that as just like that Die Hard is a Harry Potter film because the main character spends their time stressed out trying to hide, sneaking around a building to not get caught by Alan Rickman. So there we go. John McClane, Harry Potter.
That's the one. And of course, you know, I think one of the great things about this is the themes. I mean, the elevator comes down. Hans opens it and he goes, "Ho, ho, ho, I have a machine gun."
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's I mean, just some of those scenes. I mean, it really is. I mean, the music's there, obviously, too, for Christmas. But, I mean, the theme of the, you know, the fact that everyone's coming home for holidays and then nobody expected the team of Hans Gruber there.
But before we get into that tonight, let's let you know, the listeners, the one, the only, those that follow Lethal Mullet Podcast, how you can watch this show on all the formats. Subscribe, listen, enjoy, and of course follow Phantom Podcast Network. Here we go. Alright, you can catch Phantom Podcast Network on the Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can catch me, the host, at The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Instagram, and of course on the Facebook page. We'll catch you out there on the Wild World Web. Alright, folks, it's back to our chat here. Of course, a big Merry Christmas to all of you out there listening tonight. And of course, we have Ryan Stampley all the way from Newman. And of course, Australia, Western Australia, in the far reaches. It is Mars, and we're chatting Die Hard. That's right. What our thoughts are on Die Hard, the greatest Christmas film. But what is interesting is that people also forget Lethal Weapon is also a Christmas film. I mean, just have a look at the film itself.
But you think about it, it really is, you know, one of those ones. We open with a bit of a Christmas shot to it, and at the end of the film, when Gary Busey comes flying in with a machine gun, he even says to himself, "The day is Christmas." I mean, how 80s can you get? Your bad guy is Gary Busey.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, what a guy.
folks, people loved it so much. Die Hard 2 was even a Christmas film set in Chicago.
That's right. It's O'Hare Airport, I think.
I think it was, yeah. And what's interesting about when they did do that is the fact that, you know, you had the likes of, obviously, John experienced the same thing as again. This time he's got to go around an airport. But we had John Leguizamo and Robert Patrick, the T-1000 himself, heading out to the Annex Skywalk, as they say in the thing. And it's interesting that John McClane has to take both of those guys out.
Which is quite a challenge when you think about it. I mean, Robert Patrick's been, you know, he's a dangerous guy.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen this boy?
What are you going to say? Wayne's World, what a cameo having him as the cop. Have you seen this boy?
Yeah, I think he also cameo, I think, for 2 seconds in Last Action Hero?
Yes, I think he did. Like, he was like, walking past, and it was like a double take. Wait, no, that guy.
That's right. We're also talking about, like, you talk about cameos. You got F. Murray Abraham in there, where he's literally comes in and goes, and the kid goes, "Hey, that's the guy that killed Mozart." "Who? Mo? Who? What? Zart? Mozart?" And of course, he was in Amadeus, and he did kill Mozart.
Yes. Where it comes back to that, it's like, that he knew he was dead. He's like, "You killed Mozart." He's like, "Mozart? Ah, I kill a lot of people."
You know, it really is one of those classics. And, of course, then you've got the likes of some of the great, I think, comedies, which are timeless. We've got things like Christmas Vacation, Randy Quaid, Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, and the kids kept changing actors and actresses.
I'm sorry, I started watching it 2 days ago.
Oh, wow. Like, oh,
I forgot, yeah, that, you know, it's... It's Juliette Lewis is playing the daughter. I forget, it's a random kid playing. Oh,
that's
playing
right.
That. Yeah. Oh. But previously, it's like the son was older and the sister was younger. Now they've flipped it. They're the worst parents in the world. They can't keep track of their kids.
Is this the same children? You know, it's crazy. And then, of course, you've got the first one where they go to Wally World.
Yes. I forget the order. I know that was the first one. I can't remember, was Christmas the second or the third? Because it was European vacation.
I think it was the third. Yeah, European was the middle one, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Which had, what's his name? Billy Zabka from Karate Kid as the kids in that one. Oh,
yeah, and who else was in there? There was... And Eric Idle, he was in the European.
That's right, he was in that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They kept running him over or something.
It was great because I do think they tried to get some of the other Monty Pythons like Terry Jones and Palin in there as well. I mean, if you're going to get one of them, you may as well get all of them.
Oh, absolutely.
It's brilliant. And then you've got films like Bill Murray in, of course, Scrooged, which, yeah. I think is one of those films where it just plays to his character, but then you get all the other great actors in it as well.
I think so. Probably my the one. It's usually the movie I reserve for putting up when I put up the Christmas tree. I watch it is Love Actually.
Oh yeah, that's a beautiful film.
It's some would sort of label it as a bit of a chick flick, but it's funny. It's really good.
And it is.
Everybody's in it.
Yeah, it's got one of the most exciting casts when it comes to a holiday film. You know, it really does.
I mean, you've got Liam Neeson before Taken's in it. You've got, what's his name? Lincoln something. The guy who ends up being, like, the main guy on The Walking Dead.
I know. Yeah. I know the guy you mean.
Who else? I mean, Keira Knightley's in there, which I think she'd only done a couple things.
Keira Knightley and is it Reese Iffens, I think, is the other guy that's in it, if I remember right?
I think he was in it.
Yeah.
But pretty much, if you ever watch any sort of BBC show or British movie, you're like, oh, hey, that guy's in Love Actually, you know. Yeah, she was in Love Actually. It's like everybody's, you know. It's Mr. Darcy, of course. Colin Firth.
But what I love too is that, you know, we've got the movies have always done it, but TV as well has done specials all over the time, you know. One of the biggest ones, Star Wars, the holiday special.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
And how fun does it sound that Favreau's considering, you know, pushing to do a new one?
You know what? I think they might end up doing it. There's enough people out there that love that, you know. I mean, I still enjoy watching it. The only thing that really bugs me is that, obviously, we don't have an official release, but we can't get the one with the cartoon. If you do see it on any, you know, of those formats, they've taken out the cartoon.
Yeah. Bit of a unicorn. It's hard to find.
It's very
but, and again, I guess, I don't know, is it wrong to pirate something that's, you know, not actually ever been, I think that's the only way you could ever... After it was on TV, I think that was the only way to actually get it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like it's probably been in that back alleyway of VHS and Betamaxes that have been taped and taped and taped over a tape that's been taped.
I've heard of stories like, you know, that's where, you know, people would get it. They go to a comic book convention and there'd be some guy selling a copy of it.
I mean, it's a little bit like years ago there was a VHS that came out here with Princess Leia herself in it called The Time Guardian with, of course, Tom Berlinson, the man from Snowy River, strapping a blaster to him. Yeah, they did. I'm pretty sure it was shot in Adelaide. So it was quite a big little, big little movie, I suppose, out here. And I always was impressed with this shot of basically Princess Leia looking, Carrie Fisher, looking up into the sky, spaceship coming over the top. And I'm going, is that Tom Berlinson? You've got to be kidding, right? That guy from the man from Snowy River? But no, it was Berlinson. And it's taken 30 years, but I finally have the DVD.
Excellent. That's really cool. I mean, actually, what was the other one? Time Bandits.
Yes. And that
so
was,
how did you see that?
Because that was Kenny Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Billy Barty, all
Billy
the...
Billy Barty, yeah. Wasn't it... and Sean Connery plays Zeus in it, I think.
Quite possibly. I haven't actually seen it. I've only seen, like, clips of it. You'd see any time there was sort of an article on Carrie Fisher and a Star Wars insider or something like that in the 90s, inevitably there'd be a few highlight photos of hers from other movies besides Star Wars, and it'd be Time Bandits, it'd be The Probes, Tom Hanks and things like that, but... we'll have to find it when he says.
But that's what I love about holiday time. We have Christmas, we have New Year's, and, you know, TV itself, or even, well, I suppose streaming now with Netflix and all these other great channels, yeah. Disney Plus, we're starting to see those holiday movies we grew up with and enjoy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's brilliant, you know? I mean, I saw Dragnet with Tom Hanks and, of course, Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah. It was obviously the movie of the TV show, but yeah, there were the pagans or something.
Yeah,
pagans,
yeah.
Some sinister organization that they expose.
There's just some really good ones. Yeah, mate, the Dan Aykroyd films were always ones that if he went on a tangent with a character, he had one called the Dr. Detroit, where it was kind of like this car guy who was stripping parts off cars and stuff like that. Yep. And it was just simply just a character who'd come in and he was taking on all the gangsters. And, of course, it was just a complete nut job of a guy who at the end of it, he goes, "You have no idea who I am." You know, like, it's a bad Dan Aykroyd, you know. Like
that totally sounds like him because he's a big car guy. He's like, you know, that's why he was always working on the Ecto-1 or talking up the Bluesmobile and the Blues Brothers. He's all over the engines.
Now, there's a holiday movie. I mean, Ghostbusters, yes, but Blues Brothers. If you put that on, you just have to watch it and sing along.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I've never watched the sequel.
You didn't miss much.
Okay. I think I'll stay from watching it then.
I watched Blues Brothers 2000 when it came out video, got it from Blockbuster, and I was like, oh. I love John Goodman, and I like the idea, but it was just, it didn't have the magic, because, you know, it was just sort of like almost like they were under contract. It was like, you know, we're doing this for the sake of it. It didn't have the same passion.
It really didn't. I mean, I remember seeing promos for it and stuff like that. At the end of the day, it had everything that could have been there for it. I mean, now we have this Afterlife Ghostbusters trailer's just hit.
Yes.
Paul Rudd, you know. I think, and obviously, it sounds like it's the grandson or the family, I suppose, of Egon Spengler.
I think so. Yeah, it's the guy. What's his name? Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
It's I didn't know. I was blown away by the trailer, but this looks fantastic. But at the same time, I was like, this is very, very different. It's very.
Yes.
Serious, very different tone, you know, whereas, you know, Ghost, especially the first one, Ghostbusters, was, you know, with Bill, you know, you're going to put guys like Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd together. It's a funny movie, but this looks like it's a lot more of a serious tone, but at the same time, it still looks like it's going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, some of the footage, when I first saw it, I think, hang on, who's the director of this? Is this Christopher Nolan? I mean, it was really heading towards that. I'm just waiting for Bale to turn up as the new Bill Murray.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he's the Marshmallow Man or something.
I don't know. I mean, the fact that we heard that they are going to be making some type of, appearance in it, you know, it shows that they care about the characters. But, I mean, again, like other series, this is a chance for a new generation to really come through. Yeah. I can't wait. I've always loved the Ghostbusters films, and it's only going to go on from there.
Yeah. And, I mean, good friend of ours, Matt Clifton, made a really good point. Because I was wondering about it, then he raised it, and everyone's like, yeah, absolutely. You see a scene in that trailer with the Ecto-1s, like, driving, like, tearing through a town, and it's like, he's, like, in a door gutter position, like, the seats, like, come out. And that was something, like, with the action figures, the toys you could get of the Ecto-1, it had that pop out sort of door gunner seat. It's like, so they're, you know, they're really, they're ticking the nostalgia boxes, not just the film, but like, you know, who, you know, the people who grew up watching the cartoon of it as well, the real Ghostbusters and all that.
Oh yeah, they loved it.
They had
loved
the toys.
It.
And so they're kind of covering all the bases, and I like that.
Yeah, and I think the end of the day, it's sort of honouring the old and coming in with the new. It's that real sort of plus on that, which obviously brings us to, obviously, the Rise of Skywalker. We've got some great people out there right now, our friends, these amazing actors, that are going out and chatting about their experience making this last film and how much they enjoyed it, but also being asked about another film that one of them is just about to release next year. And, of course, we're talking about Poe Dameron. Oscar Isaac has been talking about, look, I love Star Wars, and it's sad it's come to an end, but hang on, I've got another space movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dune, yes. And the fact that he says, you know, some of it's just outright shocking, nightmarish. And it's, look, you know, bestial almost in the way the designs are.
And that excites me so much because it's what it needs to be. You know, yes. You know, anyone who's read the books will, you know, they'll know that it, you know, was, you know, some absolutely, you know, horrors that, you know, shaped some of the characters. Especially, you know, definitely hitting it like with the Harkonnens and stuff, you know, the way they enslaved and brutalized. And, you know, I think David Lynch, you know, tried to capture that with, you know, with a lot of the sort of grotesqueness and whatnot. But, yeah, damn. It's
going to be good. It's going to be amazing. I mean, the fact we got somebody that designed Arrival and then also designed Blade Runner 2049, these atmospheric films. I mean, you could literally, you feel like you're in those films when you watch them, you know? And there's just something gritty about this filmmaker, isn't there?
Absolutely. I think it's a really good choice. It's one of those properties, I think, it sort of bounced around a lot over the years. You know, it's the whole, its whole history of it film, you know, where it was the, was I haven't, I need to see that doco, the Jodorowsky's Dune or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's different attempts have been made, and, you know, David Lynch, you know, did what he did. I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
We did a podcast on it years ago.
Yeah, we did.
We did that watch through. and I think, you know, there was limitations, like, you know, how to do effects-wise, things like the weirding way, so it's like, all right, we'll turn it into something else. The certain whole sound weapon thing, and then that then got adopted in the video games.
Yeah.
But, you know, you do what you do, but the fact that they're, you know, they're really going big budget, balls to the wall, huge, you know, big ensemble cast. I think it's, I'm really excited for it.
And, you know, I can guarantee I am just as excited for it. I'm sure all of you are too. Now that here in December, of course, is the end of the Skywalker saga for Star Wars, which means next Christmas you're going to get Frank Herbert's slice of, you know, a space opera that you'll never see, I think, the likes of again. Denis Villeneuve delivers, folks. You know it. You've seen it. Any of his films, Sicario, Arrival, and of course Blade Runner 2049, not even Ridley freaking Scott could have delivered a film of that magnitude. So big thanks to Ryan for being on the show, and we'll have part two of Ryan's chat a little bit later in another episode here on the show. And of course we've got another Christmas episode coming up, episode number 34, which we'll be looking at, of course, more Christmas films, and of course we'll have the likes of Dan Hadley, Martin Wood, and some others. Their thoughts on which one is it? The one from Nakatomi Plaza? Or the one from LA as well, called Lethal Weapon, that is the greatest? Or is it the vacation films? I mean, who knows? But it's great to also delve into some of the others that we've got around here that we just all enjoy. So let's go into my thoughts of it. You know, Lethal Weapon has always had a great place in my, you know, movie life. I love it. I've always loved the camaraderie of the family, of Murtaugh. You know, they've got this little this family unit that's basically, at the end of the day, you know, our eyes into this beautiful world of what, you know, what they go through. It's an action-packed world. It's one that's obviously met with the bad guys coming from Murtaugh's world of the police and the going against the criminals and stuff like that. But too, but we get this, again, it's a Christmas movie. It's set at Christmas time, so you get the trials and tribulations the family's going through in that time. What I love about that is that, you know, it echoes what we all go through, I think, at the end of the day, and the enjoyment of being with your family at Christmas. There's nothing quite like it, or just being with your friends, because that's a family alone to itself too.
Also, you've got, you know, the great thing of Mel Gibson's character, who's kind of been outside society for a little while by himself. Obviously, he's gone through some real heartbreak, and it's a true Christmas movie in the terms, just like the Vacation films. You look at Christmas Vacation when Cousin Randy comes around, and, of course, that means he gets to join the family. And it's just like what Mel's character, of course, Martin Riggs, does. So in some ways, this is the greater Christmas film, because not only has it got a little bit of Christmas in it, it also sets out very clearly that, you know, Christmas is about giving. It's about celebrating family, friends, and more. So it probably hits out harder in that respect. But then you've got Die Hard, which really does use Christmas. You know, you've got Christmas music at the start with Argyle. You know, he goes, "This is Christmas music." You've also got, obviously, you know, Nakatomi Plaza itself is having a Christmas party with Takagi and the rest of the team, obviously with Bonnie Bedelia playing the wife of John McClane. So, you know, it's interesting. Like, you've got those quintessential beats that would be a good Christmas film, but in its heart, it's actually a heist film, not a terrorist film as such as well, even though there's, you know, that as kind of a cover for what they're doing, ripping off this massive company under Hans Gruber. So I'll always have a penchant for, obviously, Die Hard being the ultimate Christmas movie. But at the end of the day, folks, Lethal Weapon is probably even more so a Christmas film. It's the action film which has a lot of family, a lot of character, and we're welcome back for three subsequent films because that family is such a great group to be around. As much as I love Die Hard, I think at the end of the day, it wins this round when it comes to Christmas films.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, a weekly pop culture podcast. For you movie fans, we have Couch Potato Theater, where we celebrate our favorite cult classic and guilty pleasure movies. We also have Time Warp. That's our fandom flashback show, where we like to look back on our favorite fandoms. For you NFL fans, we have the End Zone podcast. And of course, for you Alfred Hitchcock fans, please check out Good Evening. For you Star Trek and Orville fans, we also have the Union Federation podcast. And for you hard rock metal fans, we have Hair Metal, the 1980s rock metal podcast. Doctor Who fans, we've got one for you as well. We have Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. If you're a fan of 1980s action films, please check out Lethal Mullet. And our newest show, we have a Star Wars podcast called What a Piece of Junk. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet can also be found on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Please search on Facebook for Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.